In Deb Haaland's opening statement before the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee last month, she began with a greeting in Karis, the language of her Laguna Pueblo heritage on her mother's side.
Guatsi hopa duhiname itzatuitza shuimi hanu. Chairman Manchin, Ranking Member Barrasso, members of the committee, thank you so much for having me here today.
Deborah Ann Haaland was born in Winslow, Arizona in 1960. Her mother met her father, of Norwegian descent, when she was in the U.S. Navy and he was in the Marines. The family moved around a lot, resulting in Haaland's enrollment in 13 different public schools as she grew up. Summers, she told lawmakers, were different.
I spent summers in Mesita, our small village on Laguna Pueblo, the location of my grandparents' traditional home. It was there that I learned about my culture from my grandmother by watching her cook and by participating in traditional feast days and ceremonies. It was in the cornfields with my grandfather where I learned the importance of water and protecting our resources, where I gained a deep respect for the earth.
As the 53rd Interior Secretary, Haaland will be in charge of most federal lands and their natural resources. She will lead agencies like the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Geological Survey, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the National Park Service. To say that the Interior Department was not always respectful of Native Americans can be summed up in the words of Alexander Stewart, the former Interior Secretary whose term began in 1850. He declared that the U.S. mission was to civilize or exterminate Native people. So it's not surprising that the indigenous leaders from three pueblos in northern New Mexico are pleased to see Deb Haaland's appointment. Corinne Sanchez is from San Ildefonso Pueblo. She is executive director of Tewa Women United in Española. She noted the significance of the moment.
Well, this is a historic moment for this colonial country, right? To not only have the first Native American in one of the highest levels of government, but to have the first Native American woman. As many have said, this is an answer to the prayers of our peoples, our ancestors.
I think it's about time.
Matthew Martinez grew up in Okeawinge, where he recently served as first lieutenant governor. He is currently deputy director of the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe.
It's historical, and it's very exciting to follow the career pathway that Deb Haaland has stepped into, and it's a seat at the table, at the presidential table. And so I think it's very historical and exciting in many ways.
Sanchez views this moment in a larger context as a pivotal moment for Native women in U.S. government roles.
As a Native woman realizing the dream of seeing a South Asian Black woman as vice president, to seeing two Native women elected to the U.S. Congress, and to now have our sister shatter another glass ceiling in her nomination and appointment, because she will get this, right, to this cabinet position is heart-stopping.
Haaland isn't exactly sailing through the confirmation process. The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee voted 11-9 in favor of Haaland when her two-day hearing ended. By then, she had won over Joe Manchin, a West Virginia senator who represents the interests and jobs in coal country. Two Republicans also came on board. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Maine Senator Susan Collins also pledged their votes. However, some Republican senators have labeled Haaland a radical over her calls to reduce dependence on fossil fuels and address climate change. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy even called her a neo-socialist left-of-Lenin whack job. Haaland told them she is not against the extraction of gas and oil.
There's no question that fossil energy does and will continue to play a major role in America for years to come. I know how important oil and gas revenues are to critical services. But we must also recognize that the energy industry is innovating, and our climate challenge must be addressed. Together, we can work to position our nation and all of its people for success.
George Rivera served as governor of Powaki Pueblo for 22 years. He's also an artist and consultant to Native-run businesses. Rivera says the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources will be slow, and that Deb Holland acknowledges that.
All the comforts of life that we enjoy, you can tie it back to the oil and gas industry. In a modern time, when we jump on, in a car and drive for 500 miles or get on a plane and fly 2,000 miles, that doesn't happen without oil and gas. So it's unrealistic to see it so black and white. And I know she understands that responsibility, and it's a balancing act of growing new forms of energy while still using the energy that we've already have.
Meanwhile, Martinez views Holland's new role as one with both pitfalls and opportunities for the country's energy future.
She's in a very tenuous position as far as, you know, that whole industry of oil and gas. And then, you know, I think the country is really positioned to think about new ways of using solar and also other innovative practices that, you know, the time has to be now, right, as far as adjusting to climate change. And it's a real opportunity for Deb Holland to step into that and be the leader.
Along with usage of federal land and water issues is ownership of land, a topic Holland addressed in her opening statement.
I acknowledge that we are on the ancestral homelands of the Nacotchtank, Anacostan, and Piscataway people.
As both Martinez and Rivera noted, land ownership started changing as soon as European and Spanish settlers began arriving in what is now the United States.
A lot of the land and water policies in the federal government can be really contentious as far as ownership, but it helps to hear, you know, multiple perspectives and experiences. And I think Deb Holland is really positioned to be in that role.
Rivera takes a look back at both land ownership and government lack of interest in looking after the needs of indigenous people.
You know, the land was taken from Native Americans and promises were made in order to take the land. A lot of that has not been kept, and it's definitely not at the standard that it should be in terms of what the federal government provides in healthcare, education, and overall caring for the tribes and their needs and help them in economic development and the types of things that the communities need in order to give their tribal members hope to work, live, and prosper on their own land.
Deb Holland ended her statement to the Senate hearing with a series of promises designed to please hikers and hunters, drillers and land stewards, and lovers of national parks in all directions.
I will listen to and work with members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. I will ensure that the Interior Department's decisions are based on science. I will honor the sovereignty of tribal nations and recognize their part in America's story. And I'll be a fierce advocate for our public lands.
According to Matthew Martinez, those promises, along with Deb Holland's experience as a lawyer, entrepreneur, head of New Mexico's Democratic Party, and of course her two terms as a congresswoman, should take the country in the right direction.
The position really is to manage and oversee land and water and energy resources of the nation's responsibilities, right? And I think what better role to step into that than a Native person who has that sensibility of what it means to be a good steward of our nation's country and land.
For KSFR News, I'm Deborah Beagle.